Coming up, what Ben Shapiro got right and got wrong on his rant about retirement and why it matters to all of us. And then the teacher shortage in America is getting worse, and I'm going to tell you what we need to do about it. Let's go. All right, folks, helping you win at work so that you're winning in life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Excited that you are here. Well, the team brought me a clip recently in one of our content production meetings, and we were talking about this, and I missed the initial Shapiro rant because he's usually doing a show, whether live or recorded, while I'm doing something. And so I had seen and just not heard it. I had not listened to it, but I'd seen the hubbub, the kerfuffle, if you will, that had made the rounds of social media when he did his rant about retirement. And I've talked a lot about retirement on this program, and I think there's some good in what he said, and then I take issue with a couple of things. But I think this is a very important discussion. Now, I'm not going to come at this from a political standpoint. That's what he does, and he does it well, whether you disagree with him or not. Talented, smart guy. And there's a political context to his statement, but I think I want to get outside of the political context and actually talk about the issue of retirement, the good, the bad, the ugly. But first, let's go to it. Let's roll the clip of Ben Shapiro ranting on the issue of retirement.
No one in the United States should be retiring at 65 years old. Frankly, I think retirement itself is a stupid idea unless you have some sort of health problem. Everybody that I know who is elderly, who has retired, is dead within 5 years. And if you talk to people who are elderly and they lose their purpose in life by losing their job and they stop working, things go to hell in a handbasket real quick.
All right. So short clip, a lot said there. Now, I'll stick to my prepared remarks. There's so much to comment on. So let's look at what's right. The research from the Institute of Economic Affairs does, in fact, support that while retirement may initially benefit health by reducing stress and creating time for other activities, there are indeed negative effects, mental, emotional, and physical effects that can increase and many times do increase the longer retirement goes on, removed from work. Same study found that retirement increases the chances of suffering from clinical depression by around 40% and of having at least one diagnosed physical illness by 60%. Now, this is a function of someone's entire life and identity being wrapped up in their work. And when that goes away, then you start to see the wheels essentially fall off and mental health problems become very, very common. One in five retirees experiences depression, this according to the Mental Health Foundation. And so let's pause there for a second. And in a minute, we'll get to some of the reactions to what he said, because that'll dovetail me into where he's wrong and why all this matters. Because this is a political football. And what we're talking about is the idea of raising the age of retirement that is connected to you getting your Social Security check. So for years, if you're somebody my age, I'm in my 40s and I've been paying Social Security and I've seen every check. I'll never forget, Alex, the very first time I got a paycheck. And I remember going through all the deductions and I got mad. I remember going to my dad, well, what's this for? And I'll never forget it. Social Security, he said, you'll get it when you're old, right? And I just kind of miffed. Well, from that very first paycheck to now, I've always been irritated by that idea that my money that I've earned is going to this big pool and everybody's pulling from the pool. And I just inherently understood that before I ever understood the power of personal investing. So more on that in a second. So if in fact you have no identity outside of work, meaning you don't have strong relationships, family and friends, you don't have hobbies, you don't have some other interests or challenges that maybe you'd like to take on upon retiring, then in fact, the wheels do come off. However, Shapiro is wrong. And he, you know, look, I give him grace. This is not a criticize Ben Shapiro because I'm in the same role. I say stuff all the time that I look back on. I go, well, I didn't mean it that way. And so when he said, you know, everybody I know that retires dies 5 years later, that's a complete over-exaggeration. It's hyperbole, and I get it. It's okay. I'm not judging that, but I have to address it. That's factually incorrect. It's just sensational, all right? Now, but everything else he said is that the data doesn't lie. This isn't about his opinion or my opinion. It can be very harmful if there is not a sense of meaning and purpose. But by the way, folks, that is true if we are in our 20s and we have nothing going on in our life. If you show me an unemployed person who's been unemployed for a long time, and we could call it, let's call it 6 months, being a long time, 6 months to a year, it is a really, really damaging status. So that's not debatable. And the reality is that I do think that retirement is overrated. This idea of I reach 60 or 65 and I start to pull from my investments, my retirement accounts, my Social Security, and every day's a big party on a cruise, that's overrated. Because all of that, while awesome, but with no other relationship ties, no challenging ties, I'm learning, I'm doing something on some level. Now, look, you know, there are people who can thrive without ever working another day of their life. So let me also say that that is true. Because there were a lot of comments coming after him on, you know, oh, what do you expect us to just work till we drop? Now, look, he was wrong to say that you can't live 10, 15 years. And by the way, we just pulled 20 seconds. The whole rant, he goes into a whole thing. It's crazy that we should all be supported by Social Security for 15 years if we live from 65 to 80 because of the lifespan and all that stuff. Look, bottom line is, I agree with Shapiro that Social Security is not enough. Therefore, it's ill-fated. And people should just be investing and saving on their own. Well, what about the ones that don't? Well, that's their fault. Does that seem heartless? I'm sure some of you think that's heartless. But the American taxpayer supporting everybody, that's a flawed system. And it creates tension. And it's actually economically unsustainable. And that's why Social Security is in danger. It's not sustainable. So there's a better way. If the government wanted to create investment vehicles like a 401k model that companies do. I never liked the government running anything. But Social Security is not the answer to living well when you're older. Well, here are some of the comments and where this gets out of whack. You know, this is one comment we pulled. If you like making money, it makes sense to never retire, but most of us don't really like what we do. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, right. And we're only working so we no longer have to work. We're just in it for the money so we can retire early. And I can tell you that that person, they're going to get to the point where even if they have enough money, they're still going to be unhappy. There needs to be something that you are doing that has a sense of mission to it. You care about the result, even if it's volunteering. It does not have to require a paycheck. Another one was, work till you keel over, debt slave. I hate Ben Shapiro immensely. Again, these things are not constructive. These are people that are just so angry. And finally, Shapiro would never make it doing a physical labor job where your body's broken down after years of hard work. Well, you don't know that. For those of us who actually work for a living, retirement is something we dream of. I get that. I get this idea of I want to downshift in my effort when I'm older. Totally get that. I want to be free to do a lot of different things when I want to do it when I'm older. Totally get that. And all of those things are achievable if you stay out of debt and you save and invest money. And then you don't need Social Security. And this is really going to piss some of you off, but I'm in a situation where I do not need Social Security. And that's where I'd like everybody to be. Because at the end of the day, we don't know if Social Security will be around. So it's a fascinating conversation. Is retirement stupid? Like he said, no. I disagree. Retirement's not stupid the way we define retirement. A lot of happy people doing whatever they want, whenever they want. Is retirement overrated? Yes. The idea that I'm doing just fun stuff all the time and I don't still crave some sense of challenge, some sense of belonging. This is community and relationship driven. It's overrated because I think we need to be doing something that mirrors work, could be volunteer, but something that challenges us mentally and that allows us to use our talent. I think we should be doing that until we draw our last breath. I absolutely believe that. And this is all with an asterisk of if you've got health problems, you can't do that. Of course, let's use our brains. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, there's four questions that every human wants an answer to in their life, and this is specifically applied to their work life, which leads to personal and financial happiness, and that is, who am I? What's my unique wiring? Two, what do I want to do? What do I want to do with my professional life? We got a whole bunch of kids coming out of college with degrees and debt in the next couple months that are still trying to get the answer to that question. The third question is once I get the answer to that, where can I do it? And then finally, how do I pull it off? How do I get there, right? So that's why we created the Get Clear Career Assessment a couple years ago. And now I just wrote a small companion book, very small. You can read it in about 45 minutes. And it's basically a coaching manual that meets you at your assessment results. I got the Get Clear Assessment and I got my purpose statement. I got a detailed report on what I do best, what I love to do most, and what results matter most to me. But now, now that I know the who I am and I've got some ideas, how do I get the answer to what do I want to do? Where can I do it? And how do I get there? And that's why I wrote this small book. It's literally like me grabbing you by the hand and walking you towards your true professional purpose to where you are fulfilled and you're paid well. So you can get it right now. You can pre-order. It comes out in a month. This is a short book release here. You can pre-order it at kencoleman.com. And in the store, kencoleman.com. And when you pre-order that, you're going to get the assessment and that hard copy. And the book right there is Find the Work You're Wired to Do. I didn't even mention that. It's really fun. And it's based on the wiring that we reveal to you in the assessment. So anyway, if you pre-order it right now, you're going to get the hard copy, an assessment link, and then you're going to get the ebook and an assessment link and the audiobook read by me and the assessment link. So all of that for just one price at kencoleman.com. Go to the store. Okay. In my hands here, another troubling article about our greatest resource. And those are the greatest resource is our young generation, the kids that are in school now. And this headline here is disturbing. Schools are facing a dire teacher shortage. Now, we at this show have been talking about this for a couple of years, saying that based on the teachers union, their own numbers were indicating that over 50% of their members, this is just the teachers union, were considering leaving, and they were concerned about the storm brewing on the horizon. Well, the storm has come, and it's not good. And not only is there a shortage of teachers, meaning people are leaving the industry, there's also a shortage of younger people saying, hey, I'm in, I want to teach. And a lot of it is competitive pay. But solving the crisis of teachers leaving is not solely a compensation issue. More on that in a minute. I've talked to teachers at length, and I've heard from them. And so I can speak to this, and I will. But it is not just compensation. However, compensation is the key factor as to why young people aren't selecting into that industry. Now, where are we on pay? I think this is worth reviewing. Teachers are making more than they did prior to COVID, but other jobs, other industries have increased their pay so much more than teaching that they're just more lucrative. Teacher pay did increase in January 8, 2018, for those aged 20 to 25 from 42.9 to 51.1. So that would be your coming straight out of school or your, you know, obviously your first couple years of teaching. In October 2023, that was from 2018, the median was 42.9 for teachers aged 20 to 25. In 2023, it jumped to 51.1 for 20 to 25 year olds. That's the median. Now, for teachers that are older, 25 to 30, that went from 49.4 in January of 18 to 59.7 in October of 2023. But in the five-year period spanning 2018 to 2023, salary competitiveness absolutely eroded, specifically for teachers aged 20 to 30. And that's your group where you're saying, okay, we need younger people to self-select. Why? There were 169,000 elementary and middle school teachers who were 65 years old or over in 2023. Is anybody else staggered by that? I'm staggered by that. I understand why they're hanging around till 65 because of the retirement issue that we talked about in segment one. I get it. But this is 169,000 who are 65 or older. The median age for elementary and middle school teachers was 43 in 2023. Again, so got to have the youngsters coming in. Need a new crop, right? Well, here's the thing. The lagging wages is a huge issue when young people are looking at, okay, I want the American dream. I want the cars. I want the house, the 2.5 kids, the dog, the whole nine yards. And so income, and we're seeing this, and we see this with every generation. We're certainly seeing this all over social media now with this young generation. They're expecting to make more money sooner. Staggering how many college grads are expecting to make over $75,000 as soon as they come out of school. And you can gripe and grumble about that expectation. A lot of them want to make six figures or more. Great, good on you. But is that realistic based on your degree and based on the industry you want to go into? And increasingly, we're seeing that's not the case. Over 50%, I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but over 50% of recent college grads, this is the last couple of years the state has been consistent, over 50% not even in the field of which they studied. And it's because of pay, because of student loans coming out with a giant rock hanging around their neck and they've been thrown into the water and you got to survive. So one of the big issues as to why we're not seeing young people jump in is because of the money. They're new. Okay. And why are teachers leaving? This is what we got to fix. The why teachers are leaving is the bigger problem, not why we aren't recruiting new teachers. I'll get to the money side of this in just a moment, but I'll be really quick. I sat down with teachers and I talked to them. And I said, tell me what you'd fix if you could fix it. You know what the number one problem they said there is in this country? It's hovering parents. Parents that are sending them 2- and 3-page emails because the kid got a bad grade on a test. parents griping about homework, parents griping about this, griping about that. That's a major problem. You know what another major problem is? Because of parents and the hovering, we have school boards and school administrators that are scared to death to let teachers actually discipline and actually let them control their room. The other thing is teachers are teaching to these standardized tests, which has become a multi-billion dollar industry. It's become big business backed by lobbyists, and politicians are doing their bidding. And now teachers are teaching to a standardized test, and we are creating test takers, not pathfinders, and we don't have any discipline and cannot do any discipline, and the kids are freaked out and stressed out, and there's more paperwork, and teachers are asked to be doing more than just teaching, and when they are teaching, they can't even create their own lesson plans. It's control, 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 bureaucracy, political correctness, cover your butt mentality, and it's just straining teachers who want to simply instruct. Now, on the issue of money, I think we'd all say if we went around on the streets of Nashville, 10 out of 10 people would say, sure, pay teachers more, they deserve it. It's absolutely true. But if you look at these state lotteries, I did a little research, Alex, before I came in today. And I'll just tell our discerning viewer and listener, if you want to research it, go look at state by state where lottery money goes. And you'll be shocked at how much of it doesn't go to education. And then where it does go to education, how it does not go to teacher salaries. That's a taxpayer thing. So if you want to pay teachers more, governors, senators, legislators, fix your state budgets. Pay them more. And then get the bureaucracy out of the classroom and get the parents to a place where they can't gripe and complain every time the kid gets a bad grade. Do a better job at home, mom and dad. But we are driving out our best and brightest. The best of us are the people who are willing to teach and instruct. And they're in it not for the money. They're in it for the love, the passion that we talk about so very often. We got a four-alarm fire here, folks. If this doesn't get better soon, education is going to change dramatically, and it ain't going to be for the better. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Time for a coaching session. If you'd like to get coached up, just email the show, ask@kencoleman.com, and we'll get you in. All right, Bronwyn is joining us now in Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Coach Ken. How are you?
Oh, I like the sound of that. You got the energy, girl. I'm telling you. Let's go. I'm fired up.
All right. I'm fired up. I was on your show with Dave the Ramsey show, and we did our debt-free screen. But
oh, good.
Here's my question.
Okay.
I'll give you a little background. So I am an engineer. I've worked and built my career in construction equipment manufacturing. So
okay.
I've been with my current company about 20 months, and right after I joined, they went through a CEO change. And there's a significant change in culture since I've been there. It's been one issue after another, one ethical dilemma after another, and I've raised with HR, but HR doesn't seem to have the power
The
capability, right? So, you know, I found another job, and my question for you is, with this level of dysfunction, when is it okay not to give 2 weeks' notice?
Well, it's okay whenever you feel like it's not okay. In other words...
Okay.
There's no universal rule that says if you don't give 2 weeks, you're the biggest jerk on the planet.
Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day, somewhere along the line, that became a standard deemed,
right.
Oh, it's a nice touch. Let them know that you're walking out in 2 weeks. And I think it's a nice touch, but it is nowhere near this standard of the kind of person you are. I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
I remember years ago hearing about this when my wife came to work for Dave, because Stacy worked for Dave before I did.
Okay.
And before I even knew Dave personally. And she would tell me that when someone would resign, Dave would tell him, go ahead and leave today.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going, what? Whoa, wow. You know, because it was just so different. And then I let it sit and I was like, well, you know, it's his prerogative.
Right.
You know, they quit.
Yeah.
You know, and I always thought, it's not about whether or not I would do it or not. I guess to me, I always thought of that when I guess it's a situation by situation deal. You know, in other words, if Dave thought, well, we can make it, we don't need 2 weeks of transition. We can make it. We'll figure it out. You're done. You know, and then right. other times someone will stay longer. So there's no right. rhyme or reason here at Ramsey on that. And so mm-hmm. that I'm looking at it from the employer standpoint. Like I hear all the time, someone's leaving. There's a guy that's leaving. He's not leaving for 2 more months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear somebody leave. Well, you're out in 4 days. And so using Ramsey Solutions as an example of it's the prerogative of the company to decide whether or not they want you around for 2 weeks, whether you offered or not, then I think if that's true for them, it should be true for you as well. So
right.
you get to decide.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, what are you leaning towards?
You know, a challenge for me personally is like, I like to treat people how I like to be treated and, you know, do the right thing, even though it's a hard thing. And what I'm leaning towards is just doing an abbreviated notice. To where I can, I know my role. I manage a team. I know, you know, what needs to be done and just basically creating that handoff in a shorter period of time.
Like
that
what?
Way, like 5 days, like, you know,
yeah.
like Friday. Thanks so much. You know,
does that hold to the standard that that's how you'd want someone to treat you in the same scenario? 5 days?
Yeah. And I think for me, it's more about the preparation and the transition, the quality of the content that I'm handing off and making sure the ducks are in a row and that I can leave with peace and that I can also give peace because it's never easy when someone leaves. And I, you know, there's a lot of, I'm leaving the industry too. So,
what are you going to?
I'm going to more of the finance side of construction. So, right. And more IT related stuff. And I'm very excited and I've done a lot of work. It was a very slow hiring process. And so I really, you know, it helps to be debt free.
Yeah. Oh, so you've already got something lined up.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. The
Good
situation's a little, you know, it's funny because this company actually owed me money from last year. And so they drug their feet. So I would have given them 2 weeks notice, but now it's getting to a point.
Did they
where
pay
I need
you
to start.
Yet?
Yeah, they did. Today, actually, they paid. So
you know what? So the more information I get on this, I think you're being generous to give them 5 days.
I do. And I have polled all my friends and my husband, and they're like, you should have been gone months ago, but you've really, you know, I've stayed for my team. I've stayed for the right reasons. It's now.
No, you're a good
person.
It's
time to part ways.
Yeah, I mean. If someone hadn't paid me money that they owed me, I wouldn't give them 5 days. I'd give them 5 fingers minus 4.
It was last year and they miscalculated it. And the only way I caught it, Ken, was because they did it again this year.
Oh, yeah. How convenient. Yeah. Is that ineptitude or do you think there's something sneaky going on?
So it's, I mean, we're on the radio, but.
Yeah, but we're not saying who it is. We're not going to say the company. So if you think it's sneaky.
They changed the way they calculated bonus this year, but they also had the figure wrong, you know, in the calculation. And I'm an engineer. I can do math.
Yes, you can.
No, how so, they mathematically calculate it.
I do. I know how they did it. I know how they did it. I'll tell you how they did it. Like when I was older, like I was about, I'm 3.5 years older than my brother. And I'm going to take you back to this moment where I think I know what this was. I remember the first time, like, my mom and dad, like, made us share a big bag of candy. And my mom was like, hey, split it evenly. And my brother was too young and he wasn't paying attention. I was going, okay, one for you, one for you. And then I'd do two for me, but I'd say one for me. I think it was one of those deals.
That's right. Change the rules. I'm an older child, too. I change the rules to suit my needs.
You're a classy. Yeah. You're a classy lady. And I think the 5 days is more than enough. And by the way, I want to say this to the audience, because I made a joke a minute ago that I'd show them 5 fingers minus 4. And I was trying to be cute. I wouldn't do that. if I'm in my right mind. And the reason is, it's just never, ever, ever, ever beneficial to show your fanny on the way out the door.
Yeah.
There just isn't. And I don't know if you can say that anymore. That's an old phrase. My granddad used to say when I was pouting, you're sticking your fanny in the air, let everybody know you're. And I just think that, we live in a day and age where you never know how someone can come back and use it against you or shows up. And I just think you're the example of grace and mercy. And the people that you're leading now are going to be very grateful to you. So, go with your plan. And I think you're going to be better for it. So thank you for the call. Really good stuff there. I love when we get a call like this. And I appreciate Bronwyn's honesty. Everybody said I should have been gone a long time ago. But she's a good person and she's moving on. This is The Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.